everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my young friend Brendan Kraft, engineering and producing the show. Brendan, I don't know, this rain, they're billing this as like maybe an inch or more. Who knows? It's a late onset for the monsoon, isn't it?
Very much.
Yeah, just in time for the monsoon official close, which is September the 30th. Anyway, today's Thursday, September 25th. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. With me in studio, State Senator Vince Leach. Senator Leach, Republican, representing Legislative District Number 17. That's a large district. It goes from Marana across the Catalinas, reaches down to the east side of the Tucson metro area over to Vail. Senator Leach was first elected to the State House of Representatives in 2014. 4 years later, he won election to the Senate. He served in that chamber until 2022. He had a primary loss there. Then he picked up where he left off 2 years later, albeit in a redistricted area. But now he's made some news that he's decided that this is going to be it for him. He joins us now. Good to see you, Senator.
Great to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, we're always good to see you. Well, so what's the deal? You decided that you wanted to give everybody plenty of notice and say that next legislative year will be it.
Yeah, it's exactly right. That was one of the reasons for announcing early. In the political world, a couple things. First of all, you want to give people an opportunity to know what's coming, to announce on April, whatever it is, when we have to turn in signatures, that you're not running, doesn't give people any time to react. Mm-hmm. And part of that is, you know, what's happened to the cost of elections have just skyrocketed, mm-hmm. and people have to have time to put a war chest together to run a campaign. That's one of the reasons. The other time, it's time. It's time for somebody younger. The mind. In my case, the mind is still willing, and the mind says do this, this, and this, and then the body says I'll see you. Come back later. You know.
Yeah.
It was time. I talked over with my wife, and she's concerned, like every wife that's going to have a spouse retired. Now you're going to be here all day
long.
Yeah,
what are you going to do, right?
So I've thought about that,
and
I don't know, because I've always, as soon as I moved to Arizona in 2008.
Was it seven or eight?
Yeah, seven is when we bought. I came in 2000. My wife came earlier than I came.
From Wisconsin. Yeah.
And then I got involved with Pinal County politics right away.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was an activist, which I found out is easier to be an activist than it is a legislator. Mm-hmm. Because activists, you just stand back and throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks.
Well, maybe you can resume the activist mantle.
You know, I may do that.
Maybe you could be on a bunch of boards, stay busy that way.
You're up
in Saddlebrook. There are a lot of things to do up there, right?
I would love to be on a budget of some sort, whether it be county. I'd really like to be on K-12 budgeting, because—
You're a numbers guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you'd like to be budgeting?
Like to be budgeting.
Mm. All right, let's talk about a lot of laws go into effect. 260-some laws go into effect tomorrow. Why now? Why the end of September?
Yeah, that's a good question, and probably a lot of people don't realize what the legislative process is. We pass a bill. It goes through the both chambers, and then it goes to the governor, and if the governor signs it, it goes in this hopper, if you will, and the effective date in this case is the 26th of September. So the question that you're asking is why that gap?
Why didn't it become law right away?
That gives Mr. and Mrs. Joe Sixpack along with their friends, to look at the bill to see if they can get the signatures to put it on the ballot so the public can vote on it. That's about approximately 90 days after we sign a die, after we adjourn. The outside people would have 90 days to gather signatures.
I would say.
It is a lot. It's a percentage of the last election. So it's not easy. I think the last one they tried was like 300,000 signatures.
Yeah.
So it really has
rarely,
to be.
Rarely.
It's rarely, it really goes into effect. But anyway, that's why the gap is. Now you'll also hear about bills that are passed on an emergency basis, emergency clause in it. That takes a higher threshold to pass out of the House and the Senate, and that does not have any waiting time. That's effective upon signature by the governor. And the budget is effective upon signature by the governor.
So what are you most proud of as you hang up your legislative career?
You know, I've been asked that a couple times, so I think I don't think I'll flub the answer too bad. I think the biggest thing is the 2.5% flat tax. That put Arizona in a very, very competitive position with what the other states. I read last night or early this morning that Georgia is going to 0% of flat income tax. That will be the A state with no income tax at all. Now they make that up in other areas, but that was a lot of work. That was kind of a fun process over 1 year's time when the governor's office called me and two other members of the legislature and said, I want a tax reduction, because he promised, if you'll remember, 2000.
Talking about Ducey.
You may remember in his inaugural speech in 2015, he said, I want to have a tax cut every year. And we did. All 8 years that he was in, we had a tax reduction. This one got bigger because we had money. And so it came out.
See, that's the problem. You know, on the other side of this, where do we make up? You do the tax cut, but somebody's going to have to make up the money. So.
Yeah, well, and that's correct. But if you look at why we did it and how we were going to get the money back, the income tax that we cut,
right,
we've already gained back in income with the influx of people.
Really?
So, we're still having people come in here. We're still having companies come here and set up shop. So it's just not that we're going to cut it and we have to take it. We have to up your sales tax or your property tax or whatever tax it is. We have growth in the state, and hopefully we'll continue to have growth.
Well, you know what the opposition say about all of this, that it's really hurt in the budget process for like nonprofits. There's just not as much money out there.
Well, there is actually more money for the people that donate to those groups. I remember many meetings with them, and there was actually more money. If you think about it, if you were paying 4.5%, if you were the top tax bracket, paying 4.5%, and now you're paying 2.5%, you've got extra money in your billfold to do whatever you want with. And if that's to give to a charity of your choice, you can.
Mm-hmm. So this new budget, and 3 months ago we were talking about maybe even a state shutdown.
Every year of the last 3-4 years.
Yeah. Now each department, and this doesn't get a lot of publicity, but each department just in the last few days had to turn in some of their kind of budget wish list, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, and so how's that looking?
Well, this is rather blunt, but it's basically dead on arrival, at least for the House and the Senate. The governor will look at it, but she's already told them not anything more than a 2 or 2.5% increase. So if those that come in, I know that Tom Hort has come in for director of school instruction, and other departments have come in for access, for example. Our Medicaid has come in for a large increase. What the legislature does is we take available funds and then we budget based on that. Yeah, it's a roadmap maybe, but we budget on available funds and what our constituents are saying.
And I've got those numbers in front of me, thanks to the online news service out of Phoenix, Arizona Agenda, which came out. They had a really nice topic spread on this today, and they looked at three of the bigger agents, three departments, education, access, and economic security, and they were talking about how much those three departments are going to lose in federal funding. So the numbers they have now sent over to the governor make up for a lot of that federal
deficit. Well, there is a lot of that. There is a lot of that, Bill. We are in, not outwardly, you're not hearing about it, but we are already working. I'm working with our budget people. I know Senator J.D. Mesnard is working with them, because we have, not only do we have shifts in Medicaid, but we also have shifts in the SNAP benefits. And there's, I know there was an article out yesterday about how much fraud is picked up in SNAP. But that's, and then we have the tax package, TCJA number two. And right now, those costs for taxes and for the makeup are right around $400 million.
Yeah, that's the number I have in front of me from Arizona Agenda. That's what they reported. That's a lot of money. So how are you and your colleagues, how are you going to make up for that federal funding that lost?
I was coming to you. I was hoping you had a, check, a rabbit.
I didn't
had
bring
a
my,
rabbit in your...
Didn't bring my checkbook, Senator Leach, but boy, that's a ton of money.
Well, we have that, and then we also have... last year, you heard us talk about Prop 123, an extension of that, and that's about $300 million. So we're looking at some significant money that we're going to have to navigate as soon as we go back in next January.
All right, let's talk some more in segment number two, Senator Leach. But first, I know you love bakery goods, don't you?
I do.
Mona's Danish Bakery has been around, Senator, for a long time, over 20 years. The owner, Steve, grew up in Denmark, and that's one of the reasons why they have the Danish Kringle as their signature pastry there. They do some beautiful European-style pastries, including a traditional almond wedding cake. May have to look into that in the future. Mona's also has outstanding... carrot cake. I talk a lot about the carrot cake because it's so good. I love it. They're open 7 o'clock, 7 a.m. They open the doors. They do take Monday off, well deserved, after the busy weekend. The website's monasdanishbakery.com. So where are they located? Well, conveniently located northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. And I know you're up at Saddlebrook, Senator, but when you're down in the foothills area, I think it would be worth your while to go by and pick up some Mona's pastries for you and your lovely wife.
You sold me on the Kringle.
You may have to pick up a Kringle on the way back to Saddlebrook after this interview. All right, let's take a break.
In fact, I'm going to Vail this afternoon.
Well, yeah. Stop I'm on your way home.
I'm trying to think where that is. What was
Swan? Swan and Sunrise.
Okay.
You know where Ace Hardware is up there?
Right
up there.
Got
in that sector, northeast corner of that area. All right, we'll be right back with Senator Leach.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Some good bump music from Brendan Kraft on the other side of the glass. Thumbs up from both Senator Leach and me, Bill Buckmaster, for our bump music on the program today, Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. And tomorrow we've got John Kamik. John heads up Tucson Water. He'll be our Friday focus interview. There's a lot to talk about with water and this Project Blue. State Senator Vince Leach is with us, Republican, whose home area is up in Saddlebrook. His district is Legislative District Number 17. Have you weighed in, Senator, on all this dust up over data centers?
I because Arizona, Senator Melvin, God rest his soul, was big on data centers, bringing data centers to the state of Arizona.
Yeah, it was back in the day.
Yeah, exactly. But we don't have hurricanes. We don't have all of the weather associated down. So he really sold it. Now we've grown so much that we have,
bunch of them in Phoenix.
Well, we have a bunch of them in Phoenix, and we have to have more power. They consume power. Like you wouldn't believe. Hmm. It sounds like a Donald Trump talk, like you wouldn't believe. But anyway,
bigly.
The latest that I heard, and I got it from a reputable source, is that Project Blue is going to move forward, but they're looking at different locations.
Well, they're looking at Marana. Yep. They're looking at the original location in
Pima
County.
They're looking at doing it by air conditioning. Rather than water.
Yeah.
Because it takes...
Kind of what they call a closed loop system, which would use a ton of power rather than a ton of water.
I am told, and I've not talked to my contacts at TEP. Mm-hmm. That would be an interesting one for you to have Stephen Eddy on from TEP and talk about it. I'm told, haven't verified this with TEP, that they've got the power situation under control.
Mm-hmm. For those who are just joining us, and the thing I like about being on the air, Senator, during the noon hour, it's like a drive time. You got people in and out of the car. They're in and out of meetings. They're going to lunch, and perhaps folks didn't hear the first segment with Senator Leach, but he has decided that he will not be seeking re-election next year. And his political career then goes back to 2014. So kind of off and on for at least 10 years in politics, but he's decided not to get involved. You said that one of the things you were proud of was the flat tax. How have things changed at the legislature since you first went up there in 2014?
It's, how do I want to say this carefully? It's gotten really to be, you get battle fatigue up there just because you're walking, seemingly are walking on eggshells. So you can have some days where things go smooth, but I will tell you, if you bring up taxes, if you bring up abortion, if you bring up K-12, and even if you bring up now prisons, because we've had a lot of death in prisons, you know, the gloves go on, and budget, obviously budget, mm-hmm. because that's where the money is spent. So the it's kind of like flying. Flying before 9/11 was fun.
Yeah,
it's not as fun. That's not why I'm retiring. Mm-hmm. It's time for someone else to take the reins and go. But yeah, it's more difficult, and it's trying. It's trying.
When you lost your primary,
I did.
You were actually, your opponent accused you of being not to the right enough, not conservative enough,
which is really interesting. I say you're laughing.
I am laughing
because all of the people that rate legislators,
yeah.
had me way over on the conservative side.
Yeah,
and I will tell you that LD 17, the new district, LD 11, not so much, but LD 17 is not a super conservative district. I won. And other people have won. Juan Ciscomani won, but Kerry Lake did not run in her run for governor.
Mm-hmm.
She did not take it. So it's not far right. It's right, but it's center right.
Are you a libertarian? Do you think?
No. If you go far enough, if you ever taken one of these tests where it points out where you are, mm-hmm. if you go far enough right into the libertarian, then you almost come around full circle, and you're a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've never been accused of being a libertarian.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you grow up as a young man as a Democrat?
I grew up in a household
in Wisconsin.
My parents were divorced at an early age, and they remarried. Interestingly enough, I grew up in a house. My stepfather was married to the National Democrat committee woman mm-hmm. from the state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
So there were many discussions. I grew up around a supper table, dinner table for those that are mm-hmm. of that vocabulary. And there was political discussions all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a natural for me to go into political science mm-hmm. in college.
Weren't you a Kennedy Democrat?
Probably.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
So what changed?
Hubert Humphrey. Hubert?
Of course, remember Hubert Humphrey? So why are you a conservative? What do you like about the Republican Party these days?
I like the nature of budgeting.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you follow Congressman Schweikert at all mm-hmm. and follow his videotape presentation mm-hmm. every week mm-hmm. and points out he talks about cutting Medicaid, Medicaid mm-hmm. expansion, and Medicare, all of the things that we do for people. He said, we have to be honest with the people. If we don't cut back on some of those and find a different way to fund those, we will be broke. We're $37 trillion in debt.
Mm-hmm.
There's at some point where it just implodes upon itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that.
Mm-hmm. What else do you like?
What else? Mm-hmm. I'm in favor of no abortions.
Mm-hmm.
Abortions that are okay for the life of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Rape and incest.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Republican platform, mm-hmm. and I'm for that. I'm for school choice. Always have been for school choice.
Yeah, the school voucher thing, I want to bring that up. Some are saying it's just bankrupting the state of Arizona, and it's out of control. Granted, you like vouchers, but shouldn't there be some oversight?
First of all, Bill, we can't have vouchers in the state of Arizona. It was outlawed in the Constitution.
What is it?
We have the ESA programs, and the programs of any pass-through have gone to the courts and said the method of distribution to parents is legal. It's not a voucher. Now, people will call it a voucher.
Okay.
And if it's, you know, it's like kind of like tissue has become what? Has become Kleenex.
Of course.
You say it often enough,
yeah,
everybody believes it. Mm. We need some tightening of the reins about spending on additional things that probably shouldn't be included in that. But we should not. There's nearly 90,000 families on that. And I will tell you this.
Okay.
If we can get transportation for the black and brown people would send their kids to a school choice if they had transportation.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have transportation, you can't get your kids to enjoy. The last time we passed ESAs, we had any number of black and brown groups that came to us and said, we need this bill. We want this bill. Mm-hmm. And so I'm in favor of that. I'm in favor of girls playing girls' sports,
mm-hmm,
and boys playing boys' sports. Always have been.
All right, Senator, quickly running out of time.
Holy cow.
And I know the half hour goes very fast, but we've still got a full legislative year ahead of you, and that means a couple more appearances certainly here on the show. So
yep,
we'll look forward to that.
All right. Appreciate your invitation. Come back whenever you give me a call.
Thank you very much. Senator Vince Leach with us on the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, the superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District, will be our guest after we take the mid-show break. Right now, it's CBS Network News.
CBS News Brief. We're learning more about the suspect in yesterday's shooting at the ICE facility in Dallas, acting U.S. Attorney Nancy Larson.
He called the ICE employees people showing up to collect a dirty paycheck. He wrote that he intended to maximize lethality against ICE personnel.
The FBI's Joe Rothrock.
The clearest motivation for this attack are his own words. In his handwritten notes, he says, I want to cause terror. He doesn't want to just impact the ICE agents and the law enforcement agents that were carrying out that mission yesterday. He wants to impact ICE agents and law enforcement across the country.
One detainee was killed, two others wounded when he fired at the van they were in. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth has directed numerous generals and admirals from around the world to come to Quantico, Virginia next week. The Pentagon isn't saying why. Checking the numbers on Wall Street at this hour, stocks are lower. The Dow off 200. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing is Zocalo Village Studio. All the plants are waiting. Are we going to get some rain? And they're all excited out at 3384 East River Road, 13-acre site, also home to Zocalo Village. Great selection of pottery. Some of that handcrafted mesquite furniture is so beautiful there. Check it out. So when you're over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road, get your plants, your replenishment plants, the plants that didn't make it because of the very dry summer season, and then go by and check out Zocalo Village. So it's what I'm saying is it's a destination in itself. GreenThingsAZ.com and the sister business ZocaloVillage.com open every day, and they've been around for a long time. Great business. And also, when we do our telephone interviews, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, we welcome back to the show the superintendent of now the third largest school district in the state of Arizona, Dr. Trujillo.
Yes, we are, Bill.
Mesa, I think.
Mesa's one.
Yeah.
And we're now inching our way back to two because Chandler, which is number two, took a massive enrollment hit.
Down 16%, wasn't it?
Yes, they took a historic enrollment loss. So we probably will be number two if they take another loss like that this year.
Yeah, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo with us, and Dr. Trujillo had a nice visit till I yelled, "Hey, you're on in a few seconds." He was visiting with, well, I didn't yell. I politely said, Brendan's laughing on the other side of the glass. I said, "We've got to get, we're on." Anyway, you had a nice chat with State Senator Vince Leach, and the conclusion of our interview had to deal with school vouchers.
Yeah, and what I think my comment to Bill, and I think it's important for the air, is the exchange I just had with Senator Leach is the kind of exchange that needs to happen all across this nation. Senator Leach and I pretty much disagree on every major issue. And during his time in the legislature, we would have pretty passionate discussions and debates around everything from school choice to the validity of being able to implement desegregation programming and collect desegregation taxes. Opposed pretty much on every issue, but we were always able to shake hands.
Yeah.
And we were always able to agree
that.
To disagree.
I'm old school in that
Absolutely.
Way. I love that.
We need
more of that. What am I hearing about Title I's funds may go away? Title I.
I think right
First
now.
First of all, explain what that is for our listeners that may not know.
Yeah, Title I was part of the Lyndon B. Johnson era civil rights package that really designated a federal grant to public schools around the nation that would be distributed according to the percentage of students that meet the percentage of free and reduced lunch, basically the federal guidelines for poverty. And so it's been a fundamental grant for TUSD and many districts around the nation for more than half a century. And the purpose of it is to supplement educational services predominantly for students and schools located in economically depressed communities. Mm-hmm. You can use the money for summer school, before and after school programming, preschool, expanding preschool education, bringing in additional counselors, additional librarians. And
you
such.
Guys at Tucson Unified have utilized that.
We've done it. Yeah, we get over.
Extensively.
We've got great Title I programming, but we are extremely concerned. A few weeks ago, the House of Representatives released its proposed budget for fiscal year 26, which would be our next school year, in school year 26-27. And that budget featured a $67 billion cut to Title I grants across the nation. And that would equate, if that budget stands, that would equate to a $7 million cut to TUSD's Title I grant, and would cripple us in a couple of major areas. It would shut down preschool programs that we've worked really hard to open across the districts. It would dramatically reduce the amount of summer school opportunities we'd be able to offer. And it would create severely compromised efforts in terms of providing additional resources like counselors, librarian assistants, and additional teacher's assistants across the district.
Boy, would that be a huge hit to the
budget.
It's going
to be a huge district to the budget. My concern is, though, the budget, obviously they're not discussing it now because they're focused on keeping the government open. But what the House proposed is basically a carbon copy of the White House proposal. So that's what has me nervous, as it matches up with what the administration wants to do. And so for us, we're watching the Senate when those conversations get going. But a $7 million hit would be a colossal loss to TUSD.
Have you had to already juggle your budget for the current fiscal year because of funds that are not perhaps federal funds that are not coming in?
So far, no. I want to thank here publicly Senator Kelly, Senator Gallego. They intervened early in July when we got that funding freeze notification from the Department of Education.
Right, that email.
And they sent a memorandum to the Department of Ed. And through their relationships across the aisle, they were able to marshal enough bipartisan support to get a reversal. So thankfully, all of those funds were distributed, but we are very concerned about the upcoming year and whether those funds will survive.
I'm starting to see some signs very much urging the voters in November to give Tucson Unified a big thumbs up. What's that about?
Well, our override, really, at the core of it, you know, its core purpose is to focus on teacher and educator compensation. We are losing the battle with average teacher salaries to our neighboring school districts who all have overrides. Leading the way is Flowing Wells. They have a very impressive $65,000 a year average teacher salary.
That's a robust one,
isn't
it?
It is very, yeah. It's one of the most competitive in the region. And they do a great job over there. And you've got a couple of other districts that are in the low 60s. Well, you know, TUSD, our average teacher salary is around 57. And so we need to shore that up. And we also need a package of funding to really give the parents what they're asking for. Our parents want music education. They want PE back in schools. So this override package, it's going to provide significant teacher raises, $3,500 a year in raises for every teacher in the system. It's going to put music and PE teachers back in our elementary schools. We're going to be investing $1 million into career and technical education programs to expand access for students. We're going to be expanding out preschool programs to, I believe it's going to be 8 additional classrooms. And we're going to be bringing in more counselors and social workers for all of our high schools.
Will I get a ballot? I live in the district.
You'll get a ballot. It's a mail-in only election.
Okay.
So
Good thing about it being now rather than, yes, I realize we have city elections, but next year the ballot will be so crowded.
It's going to be crowded.
You can really, folks can get the word here about what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. But my message also is this just isn't a pot of money to give to TUSD, right? We have some serious financial challenges that we have to take on. You know, this district, the combination of empowerment scholarship accounts, taking students away versus declining birth rates and an aging population and fewer K-12 aged kids in our attendance boundary, we're bringing in less revenue. So we've got to look at our budget. We've got to start inevitably getting to that hard conversation, Bill, that a lot of Tucsonans don't like to have with their local school district, right-sizing and starting to look at schools and say, are we geographically situated for success?
Yeah, and whether or not, however you feel about the empowerment scholarships, vouchers, It is important to have a strong public school district.
It is.
And the operative word is public.
Public.
Right?
Public. Yes. There really is not a lot that you can say about an empowerment scholarship account that could describe it as publicly accessible for everybody. What we are seeing are three scenarios, Bill. We're seeing families, and this is the bulk, like 70% of students that live inside of TUSD's 234 square mile boundary, 70% of those families have never come to our schools. They've always been going to...
You're saying 7 out of 10?
7 out of 10 have always gone to a tuition-charging private school, whether it's St. Augustine or South Point, and they're just getting the additional $5,500 to give them a break on tuition, okay? And that's coming out of our budget. So that's not creating an opportunity for economically challenged kids. The second thing that we're seeing is special education. So parents of students with disabilities collect a voucher, and then they try to go to a charter school or a private school, only to be told that they don't have the services. But TUSD does. And then they have to come back to TUSD.
They give the parents your number.
Yes. And then they're back. Okay. And then here's the kicker. Okay. The cost to serve the student, right? Especially if you're dealing with a student with intense levels of autism,
right,
or, you know, sort of higher.
Really challenging.
Really
students.
Challenging. That cost is not $5,300. It's more like $10,000.
Yes, it is.
So we take a loss.
Very expensive.
It's very expensive. And then the third type of student that we see that takes an empowerment scholarship account, and probably the worst case scenario, is those families that take these ESAs and they just collect the $5,300 and that's it.
That just goes to their bank account.
That's it. It goes to the bank account. And the kids are not in school. They're roaming around in the community. They don't have a school
to
go to.
It's really a gift to them then, isn't it?
Nobody's following up. And that money is coming out of our budget.
Yeah. Taxpayers pay for it. More with He's not a senator yet. Superintendent Gabriel Trujillo right after we take the break.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Be a great weekend to take a trip over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They got a ton of rain over there. They had a great monsoon while we had kind of a mediocre one, but they had a very robust summer rainy season in Silver City in Grant County, and it really shows in the Gila National Wilderness. You'll have a terrific time. The leaves will be starting to change pretty soon in the high country, and Silver City's 5,000 to 7,000 feet elevation. After all, we're now in early autumn. I was looking at the national map of the way the leaves change. There are some areas in the high country of Colorado that are really at peak, or even a little past peak already, for the leaves changing. So it is that time of year, a great time to take a trip over to Silver City, only about a three-hour drive. southwestnewmexico.org is the website. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Sean and his team do a great job over there, and we thank him and the team for their support of our program. We've got Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, the superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District, with us in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. Is there any news on your new change, Dr. Trujillo, with the cell phone policy? Are the students now allowed to carry a cell phone into the classroom?
You know what? So I've had the opportunity to go to pretty much ground zero for the cell phone implementation, Tucson High. Right. So if you can get it done at Tucson High, it's going to go well everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an opportunity to visit Tucson High a few weeks ago, tour the campus, go into several classrooms. I didn't see one single phone.
What?
I did not see one single phone.
Where were the phones?
I am so proud of our students for rising to the occasion and following the new policy. Mm-hmm. And the new policy says that you are not to have your phone out in instructional spaces in the classroom. You're free to use your phone lunchtime, before and after school. Your phone is not for use in a classroom. And it was a dramatically different experience for me, because I can tell you, for the last 9 years I've been on this job, two things have frustrated me, you know, the most about visiting our high schools. Mm-hmm. Tardiness, the amount of kids I see just coming in late, and the phones. And I got to tell you, the phones were just, I was so impressed. And not just at Tucson High, but when I visited Catalina last week,
mm-hmm.
and then I had an opportunity to visit Sabino
mm-hmm.
about 3 weeks ago. And all three campuses are doing a wonderful job with cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't have those phones out in the classroom, you've got students that are more actively engaged,
mm-hmm.
socially, cognitively, not only in the academic content, but with each other.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Less screen time, yeah. More interaction.
Where do they go? Great. Into the student's backpack?
So some schools,
they're like, told to turn them off. And
some schools like Sabino, they have device lockers,
mm-hmm.
where you walk into every classroom at Sabino High School and you've got device boxes that mm-hmm. the kids put in, and then mm-hmm. they just have a little key.
Uh-huh.
And then some schools like Tucson High, they let you store your phone. And then if it's out, they take it.
Mm.
And so they haven't had any incidents where they've had to take a phone. Kids are mm-hmm. on the honor system. They've been putting their phone away.
Good.
I think it's the threat of it getting taken.
Right.
Right. So they don't want it taken. So they put it away.
That's terrific, though.
And I think it's also all three principals have said that tardiness is even getting better because the phone is not a distraction during the passing
period. Yeah, they may be in the middle of a text or yes. something, and they lose track of time.
So there's a sense that kids are now getting to classes a little easier.
Right.
Without the phone and, mm-hmm. and looking at a video or getting mm-hmm. on Snapchat. So
has your security system been upgraded?
Yeah, this is our first year where we've implemented Syntegix.
The smart badge.
Which is the badge-based security emergency mm-hmm. notification system. And it's been great. Our staff, they've been very impressed with it. It actually, we had a really big incident a few weeks ago at Tucson High, where a student had a pretty serious seizure. One of our students in our special education program, who had a medical history of really serious seizures, had a really bad one in the special education classroom. The teacher, all she did was press the back of her badge, and she had the nurse, she had the administrators, she had the monitors. Everybody was there in less than 60 seconds.
Wow, that can be life-saving.
It was life-saving, and the family was very appreciative that we were able to get there so quickly for their son.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a game changer. And the cool thing with the Syntegic system is that Tucson Police Department also receives the alerts.
Wow.
So they're able to call our school safety and say, can you give us details? Do you need us?
What's going on?
Do you need us to roll out? And we're now able to say, no, we got it. It's a student that had a seizure. So I couldn't recommend it enough. What we like about Syntegic also, Bill, is it takes the community out of a contentious conversation about more invasive security measures. The community doesn't want to talk about, you know, student searches and metal detectors.
Yeah, pat downs before you go in the classroom.
Like no, it's contentious, and you have your two camps that want that and camps that don't want it. Syntegic is kind of like something everybody agrees on. It's non-invasive. It doesn't require these contentious conversations. So I think it's been a really, really good addition to our school safety portfolio.
Your enrollment has to be reported to the government. What were the numbers for the new school year?
Well, I tell you what, Bill, it's looking like the last couple of years where we're going to be down probably about 1.5%, which equates to about 550 kids.
Mm-hmm. So, how does that work? That they were enrollment and reporting.
Well, what it works through. You have two major reporting periods through the first 40 or 50 days of school.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the first 10 days where students that missed the first 10 consecutive days, you've got to cut them loose. You're not allowed to collect funding on absentee kits. Mm-hmm. So the state gives you 10 days to get them in the door.
So they're off the roll.
They're off the roll. So we had to get them off the roll at the 10 day. Then the next major marker is the 40th, where you get paid off of the average attendance for each grade across 40 days. So, and you have to go back to each instructional day and verify absenteeism, who was here, who was present, and that determines the funding you're going to get, at least for the first half of the year. So we're in attendance cleanup right now, just making sure that our numbers are clear, but it looks like we're going to be hitting what we hit last year and the year before, which is basically going to be another 1.5% loss.
And that would be then every year for the last couple of years has been about that.
It's been about 500, 550 kids. Yeah.
How do you stop the hemorrhaging?
Well, I'm saying this openly to the community, and I know our board has heard me say this quite a bit. In order to stem the tide of enrollment loss, this district has to rethink how it's geographically situated.
Mm-hmm.
We're situated in a way where we have a whole bunch of schools that are so far away from viable K-12 age students. I'm talking about the east side.
Yeah.
The average age of a homeowner east of Swan, 45% of the homeowners east of Swan are 55 or over.
Oh, boy.
That's according to the latest U.S. Census, right? Mm-hmm. And we've had two major demographers verify
that's
that.
That's not sustainable. It's not sustainable.
It's just it's not. They're,
so you're going to have to really
We're going to really have to think about where we're going to be the most viable, and that's going to be out in the Southwest. That's where the new housing is going up, and that's where, when you look at our schools like VC and Banks, they are crowded.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at a place like Pister, like Valencia, like Johnny White, you get out to that Southwest and you start dealing with higher class sizes and more crowded conditions.
But then on the east side, you've got schools that are really under...
You got schools that are really under-enrolled. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But those are tough conversations for our community.
Oh, yeah. Nobody wants to see a school close.
No.
All right, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, we've already got you on the schedule for your next visit. Thank you very much for coming in.
It's always a pleasure, Bill.
Any final thoughts? I've got about 15 seconds.
Well, if you're listening to this, get out there and support TUSD's override efforts, especially if you believe that our teachers deserve world-class compensation, and if you believe that every single child or young person deserves a highly qualified teacher in the classroom.
All right. Thank you, sir. On behalf of Dr. Trujillo and Brendan, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well.